So this is a very advanced topic, the dancing of Lord Nityananda. I certainly don't claim to have entered into the mellows of that special rasa. It is quite an exalted thing, yet simply somehow to serve the instruction to speak, I'll attempt to describe a few items in relation to Lord Chaitanya. Of course, as we know, Lord Chaitanya's appearance day is coming on Sunday. And this series of classes is intended to build up our meditation on the Lord, and the Lord, His devotees, and His pastimes. Clearly, Lord Nityananda Prabhu plays a very prominent role in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. It is not a very small role either. Both those two great personalities have appeared in this age of Kali to give shelter to everyone who is suffering in this world. Vrajendra Nandana Ji Sachi Suta Hoilo Se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. This is a special verse that describes the origin and the actual original identity of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. The son of Maharaj Nanda is Sri Krishna, and he has appeared as Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi. Balaram Hoilo Nitai. And Lord Balaram has appeared as Lord Nityananda. Now, we know Lord Nityananda appeared in the village of Ekachakra. Yes? And he had many interesting experiences there. He was very much worshipped and loved by his parents. Who were his parents? Hadai Pandit. And his mother was Padmavati. And there is a very heartbreaking scene that is described when at one point and Lord Nityananda was taken away from them. Now the circumstances of that happening, of course this was all done to facilitate the Lord Sankirtan movement. Lord Nityananda had appeared before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was simply preparing himself and awaiting the time when Lord Chaitanya would descend and actually start exhibiting his pastimes of the Sankirtan mission. Of course, while Lord Chaitanya was a very young boy, Nimai Pandit, he would engage in many mischievous activities. He would annoy all the scholars of Navadvip. He would harass everyone with his profound logic. And so Lord Nityananda was simply waiting for an opportunity for this little phase to pass when the Lord would seriously begin distributing his Sankirtan mission. So the Lord Nityananda, once was visited by a Brahmana who requested from his father that Lord Nityananda should accompany him on pilgrimage and come to assist him. He was looking for a nice Brahmana boy who would actually come and assist him with his different activities and would serve him and would actually also gain great experience from visiting the holy places. So now this is obviously a very similar scenario to that when Lord Sri Ramachandra was taken away from Maharaj Dashrath. And if you remember, Vishwamitra Muni came and he requested Maharaj Dashrath to give up his very son, whom he had known love for exclusively. Maharaj Dashrath had no other object of attraction. Obviously, if the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes birth in your family, then really that person is likely to be the most prominent person and the most prominent object of everyone's love. So in the same way that that scene is described by Valmiki Muni as a great heartbreaking scene, where Maharaj Dashrath, having made his promise to Vishwamitra Muni to fulfill any request he had, was then duty-bound to give up his son. Of course his son was completely detached and he simply just walked straight out of the house upon hearing the order of his father. His father then lamented for a considerable period of time afterwards. And Vishwamitra Muni then trained Lord Ram in various aspects of Vedic culture, various rituals. And Lord Ram's specific role was to protect Vishwamitra Muni. So those two pastimes are compared here. And Lord Nityananda was similarly taken away, completely against the inner desire of his father and his mother. And he was taken on places of pilgrimage, and he'd conducted an extensive pilgrimage right across the whole of India. from the south to the north to the west, even visited Vyasadeva's residence, the caves. And finally he ended up in Mathura and Vrindavan, where his activities were so completely transcendental that almost no one could understand them. He would roll in the dust of Vrindavan. He would simply act as a cowherd boy. This, of course, is his natural original state. And he would act and play in those places completely to the amusement and bemusement, you can say, of all the inhabitants who thought he was a madman and many other things they thought. But they could still not help being fully captivated by his beauty. So it's during this time in Vrindavan and Mathura that the Lord's pastimes began in the area of Mayapur. And Lord Chaitanya also had begun his pastimes after taking initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri in Gaya. Lord Chaitanya had gone on a big pilgrimage to Gaya. He had taken initiation from Ishwarapuri, who was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri's disappearance stays today. Madhavendrapuri is also, incidentally, the spiritual master of Lord Nityananda. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are very interestingly connected, not only on a very high tattva point of view, but also in terms of their pastimes in this world. And Lord Chaitanya, after taking initiation from Sri Ishwarapuri, he began his pastimes, and then of course we know that his whole Harinam Sankirtan just exploded. He was also unhappy because at that time his companion, Lord Balaram, was not there with him. But he could sense that this was the time that was right. And Lord Nityananda also perceived this. So after asking Lord Nityananda during his pilgrimage, he would go to many temples and he would see that the Lord was not on the altar. And he asked the brahmanas and he asked many people, where is the Lord gone? Why is the altar standing empty? Where is Lord Krishna? And he said, this Lord himself is now in Gaya. And soon he will begin his pastimes. And in this way, Lord Nityananda began to build up his external, all the activities of Lord Nityananda, full internal potency, but he began to build up his earthly pastime understanding of Lord Chaitanya and his initial knowledge of him. And so he then went to meet the Lord. And when he arrived, he stayed at the house of Nandana Acharya? Yeah. And no one knew where he was. Lord Chaitanya had somehow sensed that a great personality had arrived. And he sent out his associates to try and find this great personality. Just abruptly in the middle of a kirtan once, he mentioned, I sense a great personality has arrived. And no one could understand what this meant. But in due course, in a few days' time, he asked everyone to go out and search for this great personality. And he simply said, once you see him, you will know who he is. He didn't give any more elaborate description of that. And of course we know Advaita Acharya and others went to look for the Lord throughout the whole of Navadvip and they completely failed. And they came back to Lord Chaitanya, who sent them out again, said, keep looking. And they came back to see him. And Lord Chaitanya himself eventually said, okay, come with me, I'll show you. And he went straight to the house of the great personality. And there Lord Nityananda was there. He was there looking sober, very large. Lord Nityananda is described as very powerfully built, large, extremely, exquisitely beautiful. And that was the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. They exchanged many loving interactions then. Lord Chaitanya, simply to increase the love of Lord Nityananda and to bring out that internal bhav which both had kept suppressed for so long, started reciting a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describing the wonderful location of Vrindavan and some details of Vrindavan. And at that point, Lord Nityananda went into complete ecstasy. He started jumping, he started dancing, he fell over. He exhibited all the symptoms of love. And really, this is one important reason why Lord Chaitanya appears where Lord Nityananda dances, because whenever Lord Nityananda dances, the area is described as experiencing an earthquake. And not only that, he regularly falls, crashes to the ground. People wonder, has he broken his bones? In the same way they wonder about Lord Chaitanya. He crashes to the ground so often, yet he gets up and there's not a mark on his body. And yet the reality is that all the devotees would constantly try to restrain Nityananda Prabhu. But who can restrain him? He carries the plow, he drags Mother Yamuna. He's so powerful. As Lord Balaram, he actually wants, simply to curb the pride of the Kurus, he detached the city of Hastinapur from the ground and started dragging it towards the Ganga. And seeing this marvelous feat, all the Kuru elders came to him and prayed, please, Bhishma Dev was there, please stop this, we understand we have committed a great offense to you. There's a whole pastime with this. But Lord Nityananda's power is inconceivable. And so when the devotees try to restrain him during his kirtan, they completely fail. And so the only person who can actually calm Lord Nityananda down to some extent is Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by pleasing very, very sweet words to him, sometimes chastising him, sometimes glorifying him, Lord Chaitanya somehow manages to subdue Lord Nityananda. On one occasion, Lord Chaitanya arranged or ordered Lord Nityananda to select a location for his Vyasa Puja ceremony. Lord Chaitanya always held Lord Nityananda in great awe and reverence, certainly on a formal etiquette basis. Simply by the connection with the spiritual masters, if you remember, Lord Nityananda is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and Lord Chaitanya is a disciple of Madhavendra Puri's disciple, Sri Ishvara Puri. So in that connection, he accepted Lord Nityananda as the same level as the spiritual master's godbrothers, which is also a very important injunction in Vedic literature. The godbrothers of the spiritual master are to be accepted on the same level and to be offered the same respect and worship accordingly. So from that formal point of view, he arranged for Lord Nityananda's Vyasa Puja ceremony. Lord Nityananda, of course, we understand, is the spiritual master of the entire universe. We understand that his expansions, through him all the different expansions of the Lord appear. They appear to instruct the devotees of the Lord. They come to instruct those who are engrossed in material life. They come to guide people back to Godhead. And Lord Nityananda is the supreme spiritual master of everyone. So they arranged for this fantastic Vyasa Puja ceremony. And Lord Nityananda selected the house of Srivas Pandit. Now, Srivas Pandit's pastimes are another topic within this series, so I won't go into those too much. But one important point is that in all these four places where Lord Nityananda, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, can you remember what they are? He appears where Lord Nityananda dances, in the house of Raghava Pandit, in the house of Sachimata, and in the house of Srivas Pandit. And? Yes, where Lord Nityananda dances. So now the reality is that Lord Nityananda dances in all of these places also. So the personalities who will be giving class on these other topics, maybe we'll describe more the other aspects of the Lord's pastimes in those areas, not just his extensive dancing. But during his Vyasa Puja ceremony, Lord Nityananda was there. He was completely disinterested. He had a very interesting relationship in the house of Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini. He would constantly behave just like a small boy. And he would regularly appear naked, just throw off his clothes, roll around, and completely bemuse everyone. He would even drink the milk from Mother Malini, who would spontaneously produce milk even though children were long grown up. And these are some of the inconceivable pastimes of Lord Nityananda. Now once this crow came in the house of Srivas Pandit and carried away a very important item, a container which contained ghee or some other substance. And of course then she was crying because this was a very important item that they required for a puja that was due to take place. And so she was crying and Lord Nityananda came to her. She sensed that Lord Nityananda always wanted her to be treated by him as a mother. So she fulfilled his desire. Sometimes she would feed him by hand as well. Because she would make this beautiful meal for him. Lord Nityananda would simply be there throwing the food everywhere, not behaving properly. So she would feed him personally. Now on this one occasion, this crow came and he saw his mother effectively crying, and he asked her, "What is happening?" And he said, "This crow has taken away this very important item which is required for our worship." And so Lord Nityananda said, "Don't worry, I'll bring this item back straight away." And so he immediately called this crow. And this crow came to him. And he directly instructed the crow, "Crow, please go and bring back this pot that you have taken." The crow very obediently went off and got this. And at that point, Mother Malini understood a little glimpse as to Lord Nityananda's eternal position. Of course, Lord Nityananda didn't want that, so he immediately made a very small deal of the whole issue, so that he could engage once again in his childish pastimes. So, of course, Lord Nityananda was there, about to worship Vyasadeva. Of course, the idea is that during a Vyasa Puja ceremony, the person, the guru, first of all offers worship to Srila Vyasadeva. And so as part of this ceremony, he was due to offer a garland to Vyasadeva and offer specific prayers. And Srivas Pandit had prepared a whole series of prayers and verses which were due to be recited as part of the ceremony. And so Lord Nityananda wasn't really cooperating, and Lord Chaitanya had to gradually and gently just encourage him to perform the duties. Whenever Lord Chaitanya would request him, Lord Nityananda would be very obedient on most occasions. He was actually the only one who Lord Nityananda actually really paid attention to in terms of directly following him. He would always be very much pacified. And while this ceremony was going on, many items were offered and they were kept for later. After that, after the ceremony was performed, after many readings took place, then the two brothers began to dance. And that dance was described in great ecstasy. I thought I would just read a little passage which describes that. This is from the Chaitanya Mangal, now known as the Chaitanya Bhagavat. As they entered Srivas Pandit's house, the devotees felt a current of joy run through their bodies. The Lord ordered the doors to be closed, allowing only friends and relatives inside. Then, upon the signal from Lord Vishwambhar, they began singing bhajans and kirtans, and gradually the external world faded into oblivion. Lord Vishwambhar is, of course, a name for Lord Chaitanya. Vishwambhar means the controller, the maintainer of the universe. And this was a name that Lord Chaitanya went by, specifically earlier on and at other points during his pastimes. The chanting was ecstatic and befitting the occasion of Vyasa Puja. The two lords began to dance ecstatically, surrounded by the devotees who were singing. The bond of love and affection that exists eternally between Lord Nityananda and Lord Vishwambhar, as now, they danced together. Each one was immersed in thought of the other. The devotees were experiencing extraordinary joy. Some began to roar loudly, some fell unconscious, and others could not restrain the flow of joyful tears. The two supreme lords were experiencing all the symptoms of ecstasy, like shivering, pallor, horripilation, crying, and falling unconscious. Who can describe all the ecstatic symptoms they manifested? The two lords danced, lost in their ecstasy. Often they would embrace each other, crying. In the mood of brotherly love, they tried to catch each other's feet. However, because both were wary and cunning, they could not succeed. They were overwhelmed in happiness, and they rolled on the ground, forgetting their absolute supreme position. Such are their wonderful pastimes. The world of external phenomena was forgotten, and their clothes fell from their bodies. They could not sit still. Even though the Vaishnavas tried to hold them down, they were unsuccessful. How would it be possible for the Vaishnavas to restrain the personalities who support the entire universe? The supreme lords were lost in nectar of chanting and dancing. Lord Gaurasundar kept repeating, "Chant, chant," drenching his whole body with tears of happiness. The Lord, having found the personality whose association he had always desired, his eternal brother Lord Nityananda, was floating on an ocean of eternal, ever-increasing ecstasy. Lord Vishwambhar's dancing was completely enchanting, and sometimes he would touch his head with his feet. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu danced, there seemed to be an earthquake. Thus the two supreme lords danced in ecstasy. Who can describe that scene of great jubilation? So that's quite an amazing scene. We know the house of Srivas Pandit was home to extensive dancing, chanting, singing, kirtan, pastimes of the Lord. And no one was allowed entry there, except the immediate close associates of the Lord. The pastimes of Lord Nityananda are completely integral to Lord Chaitanya's mission. Lord Chaitanya would send Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur and others out to preach. He would instruct them, whoever you meet, give them the name of Krishna. And this became their daily activity. They would go out. When they came back, Lord Chaitanya would demand a report from them. And they would describe to him. It is in this way that the pastimes of Jagai and Madai eventually took place. Lord Nityananda, out of his causeless mercy, was instrumental in delivering these two brothers. Lord Chaitanya, he even prevented Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from actually finishing them off after their great insults to Lord Nityananda. He would very patiently tolerate the abuse that he received. Jagai threw a pot at him. It broke on his head, and the Lord's head was bleeding. Lord Chaitanya immediately appeared, about to finish these two personalities off, and Lord Nityananda prevented him. Lord Nityananda would always remind the Lord about his Sankirtan mission. Lord Chaitanya sometimes, although he had come down obviously to propagate the holy name, sometimes whenever he saw his devotees were in distress, or sometimes according to his own internal moods, his totally independent internal moods, he would exhibit symptoms of being the actual Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes Lord Nityananda would have to restrain him. And on this occasion he restrained him by saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you come and you simply kill all the miscreants in this world of Kali, in this age of Kali, there will actually be no one left in this world. Because simply everyone in this world, in this time and place, is a sinner. So please be merciful to these two brothers. And Lord Chaitanya very much agreed with that. And he gave them both his mercy and delivered them. Lord Nityananda, therefore, is a very, very key personality for Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya will appear wherever Lord Nityananda is. Their pastimes as Balaram and Krishna in Vrindavan, we know them to be completely inseparable. Similarly, their pastimes as Lakshman and Lord Ramachandra are also inseparable. And now their pastimes here, as Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, they're also inseparable. I found that there were several places where there's actually a whole section of glorification of Lord Nityananda in many chapters in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. And there are some principal devotees of Lord Nityananda. Yadunath Kavi Chandra is one of them. And it's said that Lord Nityananda would always dance in his heart. Also Pandita Purandar, who is another great devotee. There's a whole list of, I think, the 20 principal devotees of Lord Nityananda. And Purandar Pandit is the 13th devotee of that list. Lord Nityananda would always dance in the heart of these personalities. Why? Because they were totally, totally dedicated to chanting the names of the Lord, to actually being a full part of the Sankirtan mission, to calling out the name of Hari. We all know that Lord Chaitanya instigated Harinam on many, many occasions. In Jagannath Puri, many prominent kirtans took place in the house of Srivas Pandit and throughout the whole of Navadvip Dham. On this occasion, once in Puri, Lord Chaitanya, this incident is described in the Antya Leela, and Lord Chaitanya, around the Rathayatra procession, organized four parties of his own followers. He made Lord Nityananda the head of one of them, Advaita Acharya the head of another one. He himself took lead of another one. And then various groups and singers came from all around, from Orissa, from Bengal. And altogether they comprised seven parties who were all singing and dancing. And Lord Chaitanya's mystic potency is that he simultaneously appeared in all the parties. Quite inconceivable. And he would be dancing there and inspiring everyone. In each party there would be four mridanga players, then a whole series of kartel players, 16 it's described. Then there would be a principal dancer. And of course Lord Nityananda was a principal dancer. And other selected personalities were allocated to that role. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, who is known as Gaura Nataraj, the supreme dancer, would be moving amongst them, would be moving in between them, and would be totally enlivening them. So much so that on one occasion in Puri, in the actual Jagannath temple itself, this kirtan just carried on. And it just went on and on and on for hours and hours. Lord Chaitanya was completely was completely oblivious to the external world. He was simply chanting and dancing. Lord Nityananda, however, out of great mercy and compassion, could perceive that the devotees were becoming a little tired. No one, Lord Chaitanya wasn't bothered. He was totally unable to perceive this. Lord Nityananda then gently somehow found a way to quieten down the kirtan parties. And in the end, there were only a few singers singing. And he then petitioned Lord Chaitanya, okay, my lord, it's now time, perhaps we can take prasadam. Devotees are tired. And Lord Chaitanya immediately came out to the external world again, saw the state that the devotees were in, complete ecstasy, and then he sat down with them and honored prasadam. So Lord Nityananda Prabhu continuously accompanied the Lord wherever he went. The two lords is described constantly thinking about each other, before their meeting, during their meeting, and at all times in between them actually appearing in the world in their different incarnations. Lord Nityananda was glorified extensively by Lord Chaitanya. The Lord appears in the hearts where his devotees are chanting his glories. That's described also in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That the Lord doesn't appear in places where the brahmanas are offering great ritualistic sacrifices, where great learned scholarship is taking place, where any of the typically great activities associated with spiritual life take place. All those activities clearly are a very important part of spiritual life. But the Lord appears where his devotees express unalloyed devotion to him. And constantly, because Lord Nityananda is described as the servitor personality of Godhead, his specific role is to constantly serve the Supreme Personality by manifesting as his bed, by manifesting as an antashesh. Where required, Lord Nityananda performs whatever services the Lord needs. He manifests as his flute sometimes even. He manifests as the ground. He manifests as whatever is required to facilitate the Lord. And so the Lord specifically arranges these pastimes in the material world, where sometimes Lord Nityananda is forced to give up his pride, his transcendental pride of being constantly serving the Lord. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya forces Lord Nityananda to accept service from him. He makes extensive use of the fact that Lord Nityananda is at least externally senior to him in terms of his appearance in the world, in terms of his spiritual master, in terms of his being elder to him. And so he constantly worshipped him during his pastimes. Lord Chaitanya also very clearly explained to the devotees that if someone tries to worship and gain the favor of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without first offering great respects to Lord Nityananda and seeking his blessings, Lord Chaitanya does not accept such a person. So as Gopurnim is approaching, all the devotees will be praying. Hopefully they'll be staying up throughout all hours, trying to attract the Lord with their fervent, loud cries. The Lord, somehow by his amazing potency, during this occasion in 1486, managed to arrange for a full moon to be there, managed to arrange for this to be an auspicious occasion where people would be chanting throughout the night. Now, traditionally, this would not have been a thing to do. But due to the specific astrological situation, people were chanting the names of Hari. And during that situation, the Lord appeared. So similarly, if we request the Lord to appear, we know the Lord appears on the call of his devotees, Advaita Acharya's loud calling, Lord Nityananda's desire for him to appear, the desire of all the devotees. So we need to seek the pleasure, we need to seek the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So if we can try somehow to please him, Lord Nityananda, we know, is always fond of reaching out to the conditioned souls, reaching out to them, trying to bring them somehow to Krishna. Lord Nityananda is also very fond of glorifying Lord Chaitanya, of reciting his pastimes. And so these are some things that we hear from Srila Prabhupada that we should do to try to seek the favor of Lord Nityananda. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki, Shri Shri Gaunitai ki jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Lord Nityananda exhibited many different pastimes. this incident that I just mentioned actually directly happened with Murari Gupta once, Murari Gopal, who offered obeisances to Lord Chaitanya first in part of his pastimes, and the Lord chastised him. Now there are many, many such stories. I won't go into those too much. I'm first of all not qualified to really speak on them. Lord Nityananda's pastimes are extremely elevated. But also I was asked to speak a little bit about Madhavendra Puri. So I'll speak a little of that. Srila Madhavendra Puri obviously is a great personality in the line of Madhavacharya. And he's actually the personality who within that Madhva line, the Madhva line is described, was generally concerned and was generally full of many ritualistic ceremonies, focused on the worship of the Lord, but without a specific bringing out of the devotional aspect. So, Srila Madhavendra Puri was the personality in this line who actually started, he composed many verses in glorification of the Lord's devotional qualities. And he was a very, very exalted person. He was very much loved by all the sannyasis, by all the great devotees of the Lord, and especially those who were due to participate in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Srila Madhavendra Puri had one disciple, Ishwara Puri, who exhibited very much the great qualities of a disciple. As Madhavendra Puri became old, especially during the final parts of his Leela, he would attend to him very, very carefully. He would deal with his bodily needs. It's described he would clean up his stool and urine. He would look after him in very menial ways, never thinking himself to be anything great. Lord Chaitanya observed this. And by Sri Ishwara Puri's great service to Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri prayed to the Lord that he would develop remembrance of the Lord. And by this prayer, Sri Ishwara Puri actually became a very, very exalted Vaishnav. Simply to glorify this service attitude, Lord Chaitanya later on took initiation from Ishwara Puri to glorify the actual mood of service that Ishwara Puri had exhibited towards Madhavendra Puri. Now, of course, there was another personality who was also a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, Ramachandra Khan, who we know as a great offender. He actually would criticize his own spiritual master in his final moments. Spiritual master was in separation of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, and he would say, "Where have you gone, my dear Lord Krishna? I cannot find you anywhere. Where have you gone?" And his impudent disciple came to him on one occasion and started to correct him and said, "Do you not know? Why are you lamenting? Lord Krishna is there in everyone's hearts. You should simply meditate on him as a super soul." Madhavendra Puri rejected him at that point. And the consequence of that, obviously the seed of this mentality had developed before, but then the actual consequence was that it simply became heightened in its state. And he would then make it his daily business to simply criticize and find faults and examine all the different Vaishnavas who were in Lord Chaitanya's Leela. He even instructed Lord Chaitanya to reduce his eating. He said it's not befitting for a sannyasi. And all the devotees were in great anxiety when he came there. The Lord actually followed his instruction to some extent. He said, yes, this is a good instruction. But he did not really encourage this mood of this person. And what's interesting is that we see that no direct, immediate leprosy or any great disease immediately landed upon him. It happened later. But it's described that his actual downfall was the development of this mentality itself. I remember once Radhanath Maharaj was describing, and he said, as soon as one has developed pride, they are already fallen. The rest is details. So generally we know the sequence. Someone develops pride, someone becomes a little puffed up, and in due course they commit some aparads. They commit some offenses. There's some consequences to that. Well, in a sense, those are actually insignificant. The actual development of that critical mentality, that unshastric mentality, the type of behavior which is not condoned by scriptural regulations and etiquette, is actually itself the fall down. And so for this personality, that was that was his downfall. These are two personalities with completely contrasting behavior that I thought I'd mention from Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri's disciples were Lord Nityananda, Sri Ishwarapuri, and also Srila Advaitacharya. So this also explains in part why Lord Chaitanya would also try to worship Lord Advaitacharya on every occasion. And Advaitacharya would hate this. Madhavendra Puri is therefore glorified as a very, very great personality. There's a little account of him, of his devotional service. We know about his establishment and excavation of the Gopalji deity in Govardhan. So I'll just read a little passage on that. One night while in Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri dreamed that the Gopal deity was within the forest. The next morning he invited his neighborhood friends to accompany him to excavate the deity from the jungle. He then established the deity of Sri Gopalji on the top of Govardhan Hill with great pomp. Gopal was worshipped and the Annakut festival was observed. This festival was known everywhere, and many people from the neighboring villages came to join. One night the Gopal deity again appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and asked him to go to Jagannath Puri to collect some sandalwood pulp and smear it on the body of the deity. Having received this order, Madhavendra Puri immediately started for Orissa. Travelling through Bengal, he reached Remuna village and there received a pot of condensed milk offered to the deity of Gopinathji. This pot of condensed milk was stolen by Gopinath himself and delivered to Madhavendra Puri. Since then, the Gopinath deity has been known as Chirchor Gopinath, the deity who stole the pot of condensed milk. After reaching Jagannath Puri, Madhavendra Puri received permission from the king to take out one mound of sandalwood and 20 tolas of camphor. Aided by two men, he brought these things to Remuna. Again, he saw in a dream that Gopal at Govardhan Hill desired that very sandalwood to be turned into pulp and mixed with camphor and smeared over the body of Gopinathji. Understanding that would satisfy the Gopal deity at Govardhan, Madhavendra Puri executed the order and returned to Jagannath Puri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrated this story for Lord Nityananda and other devotees and praised the pure devotional service of Madhavendra Puri. When he recited some verses composed by Madhavendra Puri, he went into an ecstatic mood. But when he saw that many people were assembled, he checked himself and ate some sweet rice prasadam. Thus he passed that night, and the next morning he again started for Jagannath Puri. So these are some of the exalted qualities of Sri Madhavendra Puri. Our Sampradaya line, of course, is the Brahma Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. So there are aspects of all of these Sampradayas included in ours. And Madhavendra Puri is definitely a very prominent, very key personality there, who brings glory to that Sampradaya line. So he, of course, is intimately connected with Lord Nityananda. And it's pretty much impossible to isolate the pastimes of all of the Lord's associates. Constantly either through their actual physical association there together, or in terms of their separation, they're always engaged in each other's pastimes. So there are some thoughts on Lord Nityananda and Madhavendra Puri. I was asked to also speak something about Sriman George Harrison. But I would like to ask Vishwambar Prabhu if maybe you would like to say something. Today is the disappearance of George Harrison. Appearance. And obviously all of us are very much indebted to George Harrison. A personality whom Srila Prabhupada described as being ready to receive Krishna consciousness. He was once questioned, why don't you spend time with all these other pop stars and all these other great famous personalities? Why do you meet them and then move on? Why do you dedicate so much of your effort to George Harrison? And he replied, because he's ready. He's ready to accept Lord Krishna's mercy.